hope to talk about a very famous figure today, Abraham, commonly known as the father of faith, all right, if you know. Now, you see, father of faith, let's think about this first. Now, a lot of people misunderstood why Abraham was called a father of faith. First of all, they misunderstood the word faith. Now, what do you understand about faith? Now, first of all, I see a lot of people always think of faith as if in you believe in that something will happen. So you believe what you ask. God, I believe what I ask for and I believe I will receive it. Now, that is faith. Do you think so? Now, I don't think that it's faith. That is persistence in what you want. You know, it's not faith. If you read Hebrews chapter 11, now, read about the man of faith, and you will read about the account of Abraham. Bible talks about his faith. Now, Abraham's faith is not about faith in something he needs. It's about his faith in the living God and his goodness. And because of his faith in God, he lives differently from the typical, from the people of his time. So, by faith, you will see, he obeyed God and went out from his hometown. And because of his faith, he considered God still faithful, even when he was childless. And because of his faith, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. And because of his faith, he received the inheritance, because of his faith. Now, you see, faith, not in something. A lot of people misunderstood faith as in, I believe God, you will give me a good job. No, it's faith in God, in your goodness, in what you say. And because of that faith in you, even though I haven't received it, I live differently. Now, the thing I always remember, that's why I, ever since the start of this Bible study, I kept sharing to you that my faith in God makes me a different student. Now, on the front, you can see me. I'm just like any other student. I'm affected by grades, I'm affected by how I'm not advancing when I see people enjoying their campus life. But because of that genuine faith in God, right? Genuine faith in God, it gives me a different pursuit. It gives me some spiritual conflict within me when I live like the rest of the people in this school. And I get depressed and conflicted when I'm just living and starting for myself. Because why? Because I have already believed in God. You get what I'm saying? So I like all of you to understand what is this faith thing. Sometimes faith is not that big dynamic faith that we thought about. Abraham is a man of faith. It doesn't mean he has no shortfall. It's in the way he lived, the choices he made, and that show that God is alive in him. So, I've asked you to read about the account of Abraham from Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12 to 24. Now, can we turn to Genesis chapter 12? All right? Now, Genesis chapter 12. Very quick one on Abraham. The Lord has said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless. Now, notice the I will. There is no merit on Abraham's side. And what does he need to do then? All he needs is to believe. And because if you truly believe, you will live differently. And God say, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curse you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now, you see, all this promise that God has said to Abraham. Now, first of all, Abraham, I call you out from your hometown. I call you out from your culture. Now, what does that mean? Now, you have to understand what you're reading. Today, Christ has called us out from the world. From the world. From our culture. You get what I mean? And then, God didn't stop there. Why did he call us out? He called us out from darkness to light, from the hands of Satan to God, so that he will be our blessing. And what do you need to do? What do you need to do? Tell me, what do you need to do? If God says, I will bless you, Cherry, I will bless you, I will make your name great, what do you need to do? Just believe. Am I right? And then, how do you know you believe? Yeah, by the way you lived, right? By your pursuits, your aspiration, and the choices you made, you know whether you have believed. You get what I mean? Now, so many people in church say, I believe God, they profess their faith, and then after that, they live differently. They live like the rest of the world. You see, they live like the rest of the world. That's not believing. And look at Abraham. So, Abraham left. You saw that? So, Abraham left. The Bible spoke about his faith through his action. As the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Notice that he brought Lot with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Now notice what he did. Yes, he left, but he took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Now, notice that. What Abraham did signifies, yes, his faith in God, but his faith is not perfect. So he wanted some assurance, some security, and that's what he did. He brought everything with him so that things will be safe and secure. And verse 6, Abraham traveled through the land as far as the site of great tree Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Now, you know that it is the place where the Messiah is going to come. And the Lord appeared to Abraham. Notice that. It's the Lord who appeared to Abraham again and again and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. And this land is where Messiah will be born. Now, and so he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. You will always see in the account of Abraham that he called on the name of the Lord. Alright? You read verse 8. From there he went on the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Now, after reading so much, that's a mouthful. Okay. Do you believe you are given the same promise as Abraham? Michelle, do you believe so? Wait, are you nodding your head or yes or no? By what basis do you believe that? But how about you? Yeah. Do you believe what God has promised Abraham? He promised you also. I will make your name great. You know, all people will be blessed through you. I will bless those who bless you, curse those who... Now, these are the things. These are the promise. Do you believe so? As a believer of Christ? Now, you should always go to Galatians chapter 3:29 when you say you believe that. Because chapter 3:29, Galatians tells us, listen, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, which means to say you inherit the same promise as Abraham, right? So now there's a few things. So if this is the story of Abraham is in connection to us, right? What God has promised him is given to us also. Then it makes it worthwhile to study the story of Abraham, right? So Abraham and I, am I right to say that? You should always know, now I'm talking about someone so foreign, like 4,000 years ago. Abraham and I, right? So, let's presume we are Abraham, and let's study Abraham now. Number one, Abraham is blessed. Now, the word blessed, right? I will bless you. I will bless you, right? You see this account. Abraham was called to be blessed. He was called from the Ur of Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. So similarly, a true believer of Christ is blessed. We are called from the world to the kingdom of God. We are blessed. It's such a glorious concept. It's such a glorious truth that we always forgotten as students. It's such a glorious truth that we have always forgotten to apply when we are down, you know. So let me make you understand. What do you mean by being blessed? Now, knowing that you are blessed must change the way you view yourself and the way you lived. Listen carefully, okay? If you are blessed, you do not live to fear or lack. Now, everyone in this world, you can smell fear in them. Okay? Fear of not having a good future, fear of not having a good spouse, fear of things not doing well. Fear. And with fear come the feeling of lack or greed, wanting more of everything. You get what I mean? So, if you are blessed, let me say again. Now, don't just read the account and say, oh no, Abraham's blessed, I'm blessed, I'm given the same promise. Now, look at your hearts. Reflect into yourself. If the words of God is true to us, and if we are blessed, we are not called to fear or to lack, but we are called to confirm His blessings. Am I right? Now, simple truth. Simple truth that has been neglected by so many Christians. Of many Christians that I've met, they didn't confirm God's blessing. They confirm others' blessing. What others have. You notice that? You notice that? A lot of times, if you don't confirm the blessings of God, you will be blind to what He is doing in your lives. You will be blind to that. Blinded to the blessings of God. You see, you look at, if you study this account, let's take a deep thinker into this. The promise given to Abraham is so far-reaching. It's so awesome. You think about it. He is just a nobody there. And then someone, God just came to him and said, all people will be blessed through you. Kings and nations will come from you. You see, what do you think? No, it's so awesome and far-reaching. What is that blessing? What is that blessing in today's words? What is that blessing? Yunin, can you tell me that? All people will be blessed through you. Kings and nations will come through you. Now, these are all the account of Abraham. What does that mean? Oh, Huiping, you want to answer? What does that mean? It is the blessing of saving God's people. It meant that to you now. It is the saving of God's people. It is pertaining to reaching the world with the saving gospel of Christ. In today's term, okay? So if you get this right, you will see everything that happens to you, be it what you study, where you work, you know, who you marry, will be in sync to this. And you will be able to confirm this. So if you confirm this blessing, if you confirm this blessing, the stress of studying will be reduced. Right? You won't have to go around worrying about what to do as a first job or who to marry and all. No. If you're not attached, both of you are attached now. I mean, you don't even have to worry about who to marry. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Confirm His blessings and all this will be given to you. While the world lives in fear, they are worried about what they would not have, but you, as a person who is blessed in Christ, all you need to do is to confirm his blessing. You get what I mean? That's why. I kept telling you, you know, when I was in NUS, I'm just a normal student. You know, I'm a seer. But all I did when I was studying, that's one thing I did right, is I kept on confirming. The promise given to Abraham is given to me. And then why did God let me study this module? Why did God give me such a friend, such a lecturer? You know, you got to confirm the blessings. And you'll come to see it has to do with the saving of God's people. No other blessing is greater than this. You know, when I was in is anyone? Let me say something to you. Okay, when I was in the NUS, you know, I had a friend. He was always worried about not getting that good grades and not getting that top honors, you know. And for us who study politics, you know, our dream is to work in foreign affairs. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs, you know, can be an ambassador or whichever, you know, you work there. I mean, only high flyer get a job there. So eventually I graduated, and I graduated before him because his results was better. So he got into the honors class, and then he did even better. He got his good honors degree. And then down the road, like, we didn't see each other for 10 years. And there was a day when I was like jogging, you know, I was a pastor, and then I was like doing mission work, going around the world, and then I saw him, you know, and he saw me, and I saw, wow, I thought he aged a lot, you know, and I say, what are you doing here? He say, what are you doing now? And then he said, I'm working in the foreign affairs, you know, and I said, wow, that's a dream come true, you know, for you, you know. I forget about it. No, it's nothing great. And then complain about the boss, complain about colleagues, you know, complain about job, everything else. I say, I mean, what's wrong with you? No, that's where we want to go, you know, initially, right, when we did politics in uni, you know. But when I went back, you know, and God affirmed that in my heart, God say, haven't you seen it? Everything in this world passed away. The ideals and the dreams of men and what people want, eventually after they got it, is emptiness. But I brought you to the world to save his people. You get what I mean? So, what I'm trying to say here now, no other blessings is greater than the blessing that God has. Abraham is blessed. Now, so it has been so misused, this word, blessed, nowadays, okay? But you didn't know the blessing of God got to do with the saving of his people. You get this right, you don't live in fear and lack. And second, if you are blessed, you don't live to acquire. Now listen, last week I just spoke about this, right? The people of this world, they live to acquire fame, qualification, jobs, you know, everything, material, possessions, acquire. Why? Because if you come to this world empty, if you are just a pathetic person coming to this world with fear and lack, you will have to acquire and acquire for your whole lives. But if you are blessed, all you need to do is to seek God's will. Seek His will. That's all you need to do. You get what I'm trying to say? Now, I want to change the way you understand yourself or the way you live through the promise of God. Let me say again. If you are blessed, you don't live to acquire. In fact, the more you want to acquire, you will turn humanistic. You get what I'm trying to say? The more you want to acquire, you will use your human means to live for your human ideals. But if you know you are blessed, all you need to do is, Lord, I just want to know your will and live by your guidance and do what you want me to do. And when the time comes, I will just inherit the blessing. You get what I mean? That's what Abraham's life's all about. Okay? You see? Look at this. in the past, when I read the story of Abraham, I don't understand, you know. And this fella, he was in Egypt, right? He was in Egypt. He was so afraid, he told a lie. But God punishes Pharaoh for taking his wife from him. Do you understand this? I don't understand that. But now I understand, because God wants to tell him, I lead you to Canaan for the purpose that you will be the ancestor of the Messiah. Am I right? And now you left Egypt, you know, and then you were afraid, you told a lie, but because you are blessed, my purpose is to bring you back. You saw that? And so Pharaoh was punished. And then after that, when Abraham went to battle with the five nations, if you saw, in, I think chapter 14 and all, no, with just 380 men, he won exceedingly. Am I right? And then, when his wife was totally infertile, he was like 100 years old, what happened? God gave him Isaac. You see, he didn't live to acquire. He didn't live to. He just need to seek God's guidance and lived. Now, that is what God has for Abraham. That is the way to live for a person who is blessed. Now, but let me say, listen. Despite that, Abraham is not without weakness. If you read his story, you will see his shortfalls. Right? There are shortfalls. So now, I'm giving you the reality now. And Do you ever wonder why the father of faith can be with so many shortfalls? Have you read the shortfalls of Abraham? If you read it, you will know, you know, he fumbled a lot of times. Now, give me in one word, what is his shortfall? You want to try again? What is Abraham's shortfall in one word? No faith. But he say, the Bible call him the father of faith.
Yeah, but...
He hides. That's a lie. Okay. Okay. But, okay. And what else? Many things, right? And the son he had with Hagar, Ishmael. No. And he was always lamenting, God, I don't have a son. And. He was always thinking, how to bring about the blessings of God, how to materialize the blessings of God, remember, and the promise of God. When God say, all people will be blessed through me, and my descendants, God promised, and my descendants will be like the stars in the sky, sand in the beach. But what is the problem? The problem with Abraham, the weakness and shortfall, it all boils down to one thing. Now, humanism. Do you know that? Now, you better remember this one, okay? Humanism is the start of every weakness. He uses his... Yes, the Lord has blessed him. But he wanted to use his own way to achieve his blessing. You get what I mean? And where does humanism arise from? It arises from doubts. Now, let me ask you, okay? Let me get you into perspective. Abraham is a man of faith. Are we a man of faith too? Are we a man of faith too? Yes. But do we have doubts? Yes, also. And because you are a man of faith, you struggle in your doubts. And sometimes, because of your doubts, you turn humanistic. Am I right? You adopt your own ways to study. You plan your way too much, and you wanted things to go smoothly as how you want it to be. But it may not be what God wants. It may not be what God had planned. So you saw that he uses his own means to achieve his ideals. Now, this is the weakness and shortfall of Abraham. And that's why from the start, you see, he brought Lot with him, right? Because he doesn't have a child. And then he brought a lot of possession with him because he wants security, am I right? Yes, he left his hometown, but there was tinge of doubt. And then he turned humanistic. And when he reaches like 86 years old, he was thinking, when am I going to have a child? And then he thought, maybe he could have a child through Hagar. You get what I mean? And he had Ishmael. And Ishmael brought a lot of trouble to the household, am I right? So, what I want to show you is, listen carefully, okay? Abraham, yes, he's the father of faith. He demonstrated what it is like for a person who believes God. But we also saw how real his weakness was. And this weakness is prevalent to the sinful nature. You and I, all right? So we became humanistic through our doubts. But let me ask also another question. What makes Abraham's weakness so unique that every time after he falls, he rises again? So that when God looked back in his life, God concluded that he is the father of faith. What is so unique about Abraham? Do you get what I'm trying to say? Okay. Now, okay, let me ask you, Cherry. Do you doubt? Okay. Does the people of the world doubt also? But what makes your doubt different from the people of the world? What? A Christian doubt, am I right? But an unbeliever also doubt. You talk about Christian, are you uncertain about future? Yeah, I know God is with me, but I'm still uncertain. But the non-believer also say, I'm uncertain about my future. So what makes your uncertainty and his uncertainty different? Huh? Hope? No, you got to relate to Abraham's story. We just read. Because of your doubt, it brings you to my final point. That is prayer. Do you realize that? No, you understand what I'm saying. If you read the account of Abraham, now let me bring you through. You turn to chapter 12 again. If you read the account of Abraham, you will notice he always built an altar and called upon the name of the Lord. Do you realize that? Have you ever read that and you don't understand why the Bible is talking about built an altar? Why did he build an altar? What does the altar mean? And he called upon the name of the Lord. Now, let me turn with you to chapter 13. Okay, let's read chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 4. Okay, verse 4. Verse 3, from the Negdol he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where he built, where his tent has been earlier, and where he had first built an altar. There Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Now, you notice this is after his attempt to go to Egypt proved to be wrong. And then the Lord brought him back to the land of Canaan. And then you read chapter 13, verse 18. Chapter 13, verse 18. So Abraham moved his tents and went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord. That is after Lot, his nephew, left him. You notice? Now, I want you to know, in conclusion, that the Christian life is full of trials and setbacks. Now, the world is full of troubles and unforeseen circumstances. But the believing person will not turn away from God. He will, in fact, call upon the name of the Lord at those moments. He will, in fact, pray to the Lord. But, you see, a lot of Christians pray. But I don't see one element that is so critical in their prayer that often I've seen it to be missing. So over here, when you say, how did Abraham pray to the Lord? He prayed to the Lord, listen, by building an altar and then call upon the name of the Lord. Now, let me explain this and get this done with. What is an altar? Do you know what is an altar? An altar requires the sacrifice of blood. Abraham always built an altar to the Lord. Why? Because he knows about the Messiah that is to come and to die for his sins. Right? So, building an altar, meaning when you sacrifice the blood of an altar, you look to the mercy of God and receive his grace in your weakness and helplessness. Am I right? That's number one. The blood talks about God's mercy and grace in your weakness, in your shortfall. Am I right? And then the altar of sacrifice of blood also signifies your full submission to God. That you no longer live, but it is Christ who lives in you. And the life that you live, you are living for him now. You get what I mean? So, two things the altar meant. The altar, first, signifies the mercy and grace of God. We need that because all of us have shortfalls. Am I right? Even after the session today, you're going to go out and be tempted for and doubtful again. You get what I mean? So, God has given us his son, the sacrifice of blood. And the same thing, God has given it to Abraham so that you will look to his mercy and grace. But second, and you are always ready to submit to God before the sacrifice of blood. So that is what the cross of Jesus brought you. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, how do you pray the Christian prayer? Don't pray the prosperity prayer. Pray the Christian prayer where Christ has died on the cross for your sin and bled for you. What kind of prayer is that? It's the prayer that looks to his mercy and grace, and the prayer that wants to submit to God wholeheartedly. That is the Christian prayer. So you notice why Abraham always built an altar and called on the Lord after his setback and trials. Do you notice that? He built an altar and called on the name of the Lord after he failed. He went to Egypt and come back and built an altar. After the Lord left him, then he came back and built an altar. Right? When he was so helpless, you know, God, I'm without a child. And then God made a promise with him and say, no, you will be called Abraham now, you know. And God even made him circumcised, right? To remind him, you are a father of all nations. Then he built an altar. You get what I mean? You get what I mean? He is, God, I'm looking to you in my brokenness again. Have mercy on me. And Lord, I come before you and submit to you once again. You get what I mean? That's prayer all about. That's what make your weakness and shortfall different from the non-believers. The non-believers has no one to look to mercy for. Because they don't have the sacrifice of blood. They don't believe in Christ's finished work. But we Christians, we know we are blessed. Yet we are so sinful, right? Full of weakness and shortfall. And doubtful always, right? And that drives us to deeper prayer with God. And every time Abraham built an altar and called on the name of the Lord, he grew closer to God, closer and closer. Am I right? And that signifies our Christian faith. You get the whole idea? No, I'm actually piecing everything up for you so that you will understand why did the Bible call Abraham the father of faith? When you look at his account, he seems so weak and sometimes so doubtful, full of shortfalls. You get what I mean? But don't look down on Abraham because he's blessed. Okay? Yeah, he may be weak, but he met the Lord face to face. He knew the sacrifice of blood, and he called upon the Lord's name. So, same for us, right? So, the last question is, do you or are you driven to prayer because of your weakness? That's what I want to end with. Right? Are you driven to brokenness and contriteness and look to the Lord each time you fail or stumble? Or sometimes you get so flustered, so stressful, and then you come before the Lord and say, God, have mercy on me. You know I'm weak. I know you already blessed me, and I want to live right before you and to pursue you as my only one. Yeah, that's all about that. If you do that in your campus life, believe that God will bring you great answers in this campus. Do you realize that in the stress of campus life, actually very, very few Christian does that? Do you realize that? In the stress of your campus life, in the pursuit of academic qualifications and all this stress and expectation that is expected of you have driven our minds away from God so many times. But if you will always find a place, quiet yourself down in your stressful moments, or even after you feel you have suffered setbacks and stress, and quiet down, look to the Lord, and find the right heart back with God and find His mercy, and you will be different. The way you handle stress, year one, year two, year three, year four, all the way to the end, and you will be a happy student and also an influential student. And at the end of my campus life, you know, I was brought to understood as a true believer of God, I'm meant to be different. I'm meant to have different pursuits and aspirations. So even when my exams come, you know, no, to me it's just an exam. That's all. It's just a means to the final destination. It's no longer about how well or how I did, you know. It's no longer about that. So it can happen in your campus life. You know, some of you are year one, and some year two or three, or you know you are graduating. Have you come to that? So, okay, that's all.